Hi, hello. It's Josh Bowe for Pod Maverick After Dark, one of the many editors also over at MavsMoneyBall.com, coming to you with another post-game edition. Again, Pod Maverick After Dark. Mavericks lose in overtime to Los Angeles Clippers, 138-131. Since you guys have probably figured out, you're hearing my voice, no Kirk Henderson tonight. He is taking a well-deserved day off. Took his wife out to dinner. What a ridiculous thing for him to do. How can you miss a Mavs game right now, man? It'll just be me tonight. What we're gonna do is I'm gonna talk about the game for maybe about 10 minutes or so, and then we're gonna bring on one of our draft guys, Tyler. He's gonna join the show after the break, and then we'll talk NCAA tournament and just get his thoughts. I have not watched a single NCAA tournament game, so we're gonna let Tyler do the talking and just give us his thoughts on some of the prospects that will be within the Mavericks range and how they've played in the first weekend of the NCAA tournament, which apparently there's some pretty good games going on right now. But I'm going to talk about the Mavs game. And if you're watching on YouTube, I apologize for the weird lighting. I did not want to turn on my overhead light. I had a long day and I'm just tired and my eyes hurt and I don't want a big bright light in my room. So if you see like light flashing, it's because I'm like switching to like box scores in my dimly lit room, and the ESPN box score is blindingly light. It's blindingly white. So that's really professional. And I'm sure that's what makes us the big bucks and why everyone loves us. So I apologize. Well, Mavs lose. Depending on your viewpoint, this was either a dispiriting loss or an incredible dispiriting loss. It looked like the Mavericks were going to steal a game against a team that's better than them. They were up 9 at halftime, playing really well offensively. Then second half, the Clippers kind of take over the game in the third quarter, outscore the Mavericks by 10. And then the fourth quarter, the Mavericks punch back, take the lead late in the final seconds. Then Kawhi Leonard gets a layup with about 19 seconds left. Mavericks miss a shot, try to win the game. PJ Washington's second attempt off the offensive rebound was clearly late. It went in, but it was late. Then they go to overtime, and the Clippers just curb stomp the Mavericks. I think they scored the first 11 points of overtime. And it wasn't really a game in overtime. That was all she wrote. The Mavericks continue doing what they do, play hard and playing everyone. Everyone that was available that could play played for the most part. You know, Daniel Gafford returned, started. Daniel Gafford, PJ Washington, Naji Marshall, Cooper Flagg, Max Christie, the starters. Middleton, Bagley, Clay, and Nimhard were your bench. So the Mavericks clearly weren't trying to sandbag this game like a lot of other teams near them in the tanking race. And the funny thing about it is like we've got a staffer on Mavs Moneyball that is just crashing out after every almost attempted Mavericks win. And they just keep losing, though. And it's just really funny to watch him like being really pissed off about a game the Mavericks are looking like they're about to win, and then they just lose anyway. You know, wondering why the veterans are playing. And my thought is I don't really care. Because I don't care about a lot of things anymore, and I just want the season to end. But mainly, I'm too old. I'm too old for this shit, is I think what the kids are saying. The difference between the Mavericks getting the sixth pick and the eighth pick is not enough for me to get really mad about. I don't think I'd get mad anyway, but especially for this. And honestly, I'm starting to be more of a believer that setting a foundation and a winning culture probably matters more long-term than just shamelessly trying to lose as many games as possible. Obviously, organizations like the Spurs and the Oklahoma City Thunder shamelessly lost as many games as they could, and they got rewarded for it. But then you have the other side of the coin. And you got teams like Washington, Washington, Brooklyn, Utah. I mean, these other teams that just continuously lose season after season, Sacramento. New Orleans to an extent, although they've been trying to win. They're just poorly run. But I don't know. I think there's something to trying. I mean, they're trying and losing, which is honestly the best case scenario, right? So hopefully they're setting some type of example. And Kidd is getting his guys to play hard, which is a commendable quality, but they're still losing. So it's kind of the best of both worlds. you don't really have to worry about one or the other. They're still trying to set a culture about like, hey, this matters. We're going to try to win. And then they're still losing, which is what's best interest for the long term of the org, is to get the best draft pick that they can get. And by doing, and to get that, they need to lose as many games as they can lose. So this game was interesting. The Mavericks had a really great offensive game. Clippers with Kawhi are a pretty decent defensive team. And the Mavericks kind of got whatever they wanted for the most part. Mavericks made threes. They made twos. The where they lost this game was they shot 12 mid-rangers and they only made three of them. Otherwise, they were pretty good at the rim. They were pretty good from three. They scored 64 points in the paint. They had 29 free throw attempts. Pretty solid offensive game. They lost this game because they couldn't guard a paper bag, which I've been saying quite often, a wet paper bag. Kawhi had 34 and Darius Garland had 41, and those guys got whatever they wanted against whoever was guarding them. Cooper Flagg had a couple of nice splash defensive plays. He had four blocks, including one of Kawhi. But there was almost no defensive resistance from anywhere else. Daniel Gafford was a sieve at the rim. Najee Marshall had a couple of good steals late, but didn't do much. Neither did PJ Washington or Max Christie. And then the bench was the tire fire defensively for the most part. Just really bad defense. They just couldn't stay in front of anyone. They were getting roasted from three. Some of that, of course, is some bad luck, but some of it's also just they couldn't stay in front of anyone. They kept getting into rotation, and the Clippers kept making shots. And then, of course, Kawhi and Darius Garland just had bananas games, regardless of how good the defense was or wasn't. Those guys were making shots and playing really well. Kawhi hit a ridiculous three in overtime at the end of the shot clock, kind of on one leg in desperation. Darius Garland made a couple of huge buckets in overtime. So, the Mavericks just couldn't guard, and that's what happens when you can't guard. I thought the most interesting thing that happened in this game, going back to Daniel Gafford at center, Ryan Nimhart coming off the bench, I don't think it worked, and I don't know if this is kids secretly tanking, but we kind of had some data. The small ball PJ Washington lineup wasn't great defensively, but it was at least giving the team some offensive spacing that felt like it just worked a little bit better, because we've been making the point that the Cooper, Najee, PJ trio all on the floor at the same time is really difficult when none of those guys can shoot. Cooper was 0 of 2 from 3. Najee was 1 of 6 from 3. PJ was 3 of 8, which is a little better. But still, that's a combined 4 of 16 from 3 from your three of your best perimeter scorers. They all ended up having good scoring games, but I don't think the Mavericks played particularly well when all three of those guys were on the floor. A lot of their big runs came when Klay Thompson was in the game, who was on fire in the first half, and Ryan Nimhart, who had a terrific game, one of his best games ever, 13 points, 9 assists and 5 rebounds, no turnovers. That's kind of when they were making their runs. And you think of the third quarter, the Clippers outscored the Mavericks 37-27, and they came out and punched the Mavericks right in the mouth with that Mavericks starting lineup. And then you think about overtime, where the Mavericks had that starting lineup on the floor again, and it just wasn't sustainable. Gafford with those three, there's just not enough shooting. You have Max Christie, who's the only credible three-point shooter, and he went 1 of 7. They just didn't have enough. They still managed to have a pretty productive offensive game because they're kind of relentless attacking the basket. Again, 29 free throw attempts. But again, all their big runs happened when they went to the bench with Clay and Ryan Nimhart. I don't think that's a coincidence. You could see it in overtime. Like, the spacing was choking and dying in real time. Like, just having Gafford on the floor with those three other non-shooters, for the most part, there just wasn't anywhere for the Mavericks to go offensively. And they shriveled up. They only scored 9 points in overtime. And that was it. And if the Mavericks want to keep losing games, then they'll keep starting Gafford with the three big scoring forwards. And if they want to win, they'll play Klay Thompson and Ryan Nimhart more instead. Now, at the end of the day, in an overtime game, Thompson played 27 minutes, Nimhart played 31. So does starting really matter all that much? Like, Gafford only played 25 minutes. But I think, you know, it's just if they're going to play PJ, Najee, and Cooper together, and if they do that with Gafford playing anywhere from 22 to 30 minutes, I think the Mavericks are going to lose a lot of those minutes, regardless of how well the other guys are playing. It's just really difficult with that spacing. So that was my kind of main takeaway, other than Darius Garland really good, Kawhi Leonard really good, and the Mavericks lose again. So I'm going to take a quick break. This isn't going to be the longest podcast. I got Tyler in the room. He's waiting. He's dying to talk NCAA tournament. We love Tyler and we love him for watching these games. Again, I didn't watch a single, I've watched maybe like 3 minutes of the NCAA tournament. Just real life happens. It's hard to do it. So Tyler's going to fill me in. So I'm going to take a quick break. Those of you watching live on YouTube, stick around. It's going to be a short pause. Those of you listening to our audio only feed, please listen to the ads. Best way to support the show. It really helps us a lot if you don't skip through those, if you listen to the ads. So you'll have an ad break. And so, yeah, you know, thank you guys for listening. And when we come back from the break, we'll have Tyler from our staff join us and we'll talk a little NCAA tournament, talk a little Mavericks prospects. So stick around. Hey, we're back. First half of the show, if you didn't listen, we talked about the actual game. The Mavericks lost to the Clippers 138-131. But I cannot do that anymore. I cannot talk about that game. I cannot talk about this team. I cannot talk about the season. I'm tired of it. It's over. I don't care anymore. So we got Tyler in. Tyler, what's going on, man?
Josh, I am still buzzing after that Nebraska-Vanderbilt unreal basketball game. Never thought I would say that in the year of our Lord 2026. But hey, here we are. It was the best game of the tournament today.
Tell me what happened because I didn't watch it. What happened? Why was it awesome?
Well, so this game was in Oklahoma City, and I kid you not, it was in the Thunder's arena there, and it was probably 19,000 Nebraska fans.
Yeah, that's a relatively short drive for them.
Yeah, and they're on Midwestern driving too, so 400 miles is like 20 minutes for them.
Right, you just go down 30. You just go 100 miles on a miles an hour on 35, and you're there
exactly in 20 minutes. And, yeah. You know, pregame, this game tipped off at 7:50. And they'd run Oklahoma City out of beer already. There's beer trucks just sitting in the street waiting to refill all the bars down there. And Nebraska comes out and jumps Vandy. And they're up probably 10 in the first half. But Tyler Tanner, who is Vanderbilt's point guard, who is without a doubt one of my two favorite players in this draft class, he leads Vandy back. He has 26 points today, or 27. And leads Vandy back all the way. They get it tied at the end. Nebraska goes down, hits a layup with 2 seconds left. Vandy inbounds the ball, and Tanner heaves one up from three-quarters court. And do you happen to remember the Gordon Hayward shot against Duke?
Yeah, yes, that almost went in.
It was that, except it hit front rim and then back rim and then out. Like, it was... I can't understand how this ball didn't go in. So Nebraska goes to their first Sweet 16 in program history. Vandy heartbroken, one of the best seasons in program history, and Tyler Tanner's probably going to go to the draft. So,
first one for Nebraska, Sweet 16?
They hadn't won a tournament game until this year in their program history. This is a bad basketball program.
I get it, but when you've been around that long, you think you would just stumble into it.
They've taken Indiana's mantle as being a basketball school. So,
yeah, because Indiana's a football school now.
Yes. As so Joe will remind us on a daily basis.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. That's cool. Tell me about, because like I said, I think I watched Thursday night. I watched some games because I was my daughter is turned 5 on Thursday and her favorite restaurant is Pluckers. Funny enough, so we were at Pluckers Thursday night for her birthday because I asked, where do you want to go? She's like, I want to go to Pluckers. I'm like, all right. So I was watching the game, you know, watching whatever games were on Thursday night. So I was watching Texas BYU. What was the other game? I guess UNC Vandy, but we left before the Vandy comeback. So I only saw UNC just kind of railing Vandy for like the first, you know, 25 or so minutes of that game.
Yep.
So I'm pretty blind to the tournament, which is I usually watch. This is the first year in a while I haven't gotten to watch a lot of the games. So tell me, let's start with your impressions of, let's start with, you know, because it's Mavs podcast. So let's start with your impressions of the guys that theoretically are going to be within the Mavericks range 6 to 8 that played this weekend. Did you have any takeaways from those guys that have played so far?
So it's been an interesting weekend in that regard, because I wouldn't say that any of the guys there have played their best basketball, which can be expected in this tournament. It's a neutral site. Some of them are like half full at best. The basketballs are overinflated, so you get a ton of weird misses and tight rims, things of that nature. But there are a few who have stood out to me. Keaton Wagler today, I'll start with Illinois. They were playing VCU, who did beat North Carolina the other day in that wild comeback. He had 1 point in the first half of this game as Illinois was kind of screwing around with VCU. I mean, they were down at 1 point in the first half pretty late. But they ended the first half on a 9-0 run and then kind of continued that in the second half. Wagler ended up having 13 second-half points in this game to help them pull away. Kind of did what he did best throughout that second half, was getting to his spots. Actually was able to get downhill, get all the way to the rim, which has been a nice change. Most of the time he's not getting all the way to the rim, so that was nice to see. I know it's not quite an NBA-caliber athlete at VCU, but, I mean, they've got money. Those are real athletes, so that was encouraging to see. The other one, the big one today, Cam Boozer of Duke, of course, nearly losing to Siena. They show up against TCU today, and they're down in the second half of this one as well. At one point, Cam Boozer had more turnovers than shot attempts in the second half.
That's not good.
He had 3 turnovers and 2 shot attempts at the under 16 timeout. To his credit, the rest of the way, he was phenomenal. He finished with 19-11 and 4 with 3 steals and a block. Did have 5 turnovers, which was tough. But for the way Duke was playing for the majority of that game, and as I kind of mentioned to you and Kirk on, what was that, Wednesday, Duke's without a point guard right now. So Cam's been taking a little bit more of that responsibility. He played 33 minutes, was a plus 25 in this game. So, I mean, that's obviously good to see. We don't like to see the struggle early, but, hey, he played the last 16 minutes about as good as you possibly could. So that was good there. And then the last one, I'll hit the 6-8 range because Acuff is still playing against High Point right now. They're in a game. They're only up by 7 with 5 minutes left here. Kingston Flemings, I mean, Houston hasn't really been pushed, so I'm not going to read too terribly much into it. But he was only 9 points today on 4 of 10 shooting. And kind of the bugaboo, he got 1 three-point attempt in this game. Like the three-point volume is something that's going to be a concern as we get into the draft process. He shoots it well. He's 37, 38% from 3, but he just doesn't shoot them. So that'll be a point of emphasis as we get closer to the combine here is, you know, I just want to see him shoot the ball more, to be honest with you. But they're on to the Sweet 16. They'll get Illinois next. So we'll get Wagler versus Flemings in that Houston defense, which will be a lot of fun. And we'll see what Arkansas does here. They're only up 3 as we speak now with 4 minutes left. So could be High Point moving on, could be Acuff. We'll find out.
How has Acuff been? I'm looking at his game log. He's having a pretty good game right now. We'll see how he finishes it in the last 4 minutes or so, which is, you know, obviously if you're listening live, this game will probably be over by the time we're done recording. You know, had a decent enough game against Hawaii, but it's Hawaii. I'm assuming Hawaii is, you know, they're a 13 seed. So how have you felt he's looked? Because he feels like, you know, we talked about it on Wednesday. He's kind of the lightning rod in the draft wars. If you're in the trenches. So what have you thought of how he's played in the tournament through the first game and then almost through the second game?
Well, the defense is poor because there's a guy whose name is RJ Martin who has 27 points in 31 minutes, and that's his matchup. And this guy's a 6'1 guard at High Point. So that's not great.
That's not good.
But Acuff is still doing the thing. He gets to his spots. He's not made as many. He's not been as efficient as you would think. Tonight he's only 8-for-19 as we speak, but he supplemented it because he got to the line a ton. He's at 11 free throw attempts already. So, you know, he's kind of ham and egged it with him and Malik Thomas, who I've actually thought has been really good to start this tournament. So Arkansas is getting by because their role players are stepping up. Acuff's been okay. I expect as they move forward, if they can get by this, the efficiency for Acuff will eventually go up. But, you know, it's small sample size. Anything could happen. And, you know, in these settings, I'm not going to let 2, 3, 4 games kind of influence what I've seen for 30 at this point. And
That makes sense.
I've admitted that I'm going to be wrong on him, and I just am.
Okay. Has there been anyone that's been playing outside of the Mavericks pick range? Has anyone popped or played well that you think could boost their stock or change, you know, change what we think is going to be the presumed kind of top 10 order? Anything like that that's happened in these couple of games?
You know, we kind of in our NBA draft tab here on Slack, we kind of gave Joe, who writes for the site, a little bit of crap for saying that Daylon Slayne was going to be a lottery pick. He's been nothing short of fantastic this tournament. He did really, really well. I mean, AJ had 35 against them, and he was part of that, but they also did a great job in shutting down the rest of BYU's team, and Daylon was a big part of that. And then tonight you look up, didn't score the ball necessarily well, only took 7 shots, went 5 of 7, didn't get to the foul line, but you look up, he has 11-6-6 with no turnovers against that Gonzaga team that's not bad defensively. They have great athletes. He saw a lot of Tyon Grant Foster, who's a big rangy guy. I mean, he's done everything that you could possibly ask. And when I kind of did our pre-tournament write-up on MavsMoneyball.com, I kind of said that if Daylon can get this Texas team to the Sweet 16, I think it would like meaningfully impact his draft stock. I stand by it. I think he's improved his stock to the point where he might be borderline that 15 to 20 range instead of that 20 to 25 or 30 range. I think he's been that good. And then the other guy I'll mention is Tyler Tanner. We talked about him earlier with Vandy.
Yeah.
The 2 games in the tournament, he was 26 points per game, 4.5 assists, had just 1 turnover tonight. And I mean, he shot it great. He did everything that you want. The only knock on him is that he's 6 foot tall. But unlike Acuff, he gets his hands in active passing lanes. He had a ton of steals this year. And then on top of that, he had like 18 dunks as a six foot tall guy. Like, he's got some explosivity that translates, I think. So he might be one of those guys that if the Mavs do fall out of that 6 to 8 range and you do end up taking a wing early, or if you jump up, for example, and you end up with like a Cam Boozer or a Caleb Wilson and you don't get to take your guard of the future at pick 3, like Tyler Tanner is somebody in the back half of the first round. Size be damned. That dude is an absolute killer. I love watching that guy play. And these 2 games he had in Oklahoma City only solidified my opinion of him.
Okay. Well, the Mavericks are going to they have 2 picks in the first round. One of them's going to be late. So are you thinking about that second pick, or is that too, would he be gone by that pick, or that's around the range you would think, or
it'd be like the very back end of his range. Gun to my head, okay, I think he's gone by 30. I would think that you need to get into the early 20s.
Okay.
But if you're the Mavs and you're looking to shop a guy like Gafford or PJ Washington, I mean, draft day deals happen all the time. If there's a will, there's a way.
Okay. Now, I don't want to put you on the spot. We didn't talk at all. Literally, I just was like, Tyler, please come talk NCAA tournament, because I haven't watched and I don't want to talk about the Mavs game by myself for 20 minutes. So I'm just putting you on the spot. That last pick, a lot of people are kind of poo-pooed it when the Mavericks got that pick and the Anthony Davis trade, but it's still a pick.
Yep.
It's going to be a bad first rounder. It's going to be, what is it? It's going to be late. It's going to probably be the last pick of the first round. Anything that you saw this weekend for that pick, any players potentially pop out at you so far during this tournament for that pick, or are we too far in the weeds for that one?
No, I think any of the 3 Michigan guys, them being Yaxel Lindeborg, who had an unreal poster today.
I saw that. You posted that in Slack, I think. That was awesome.
So I don't think he's going to make it past 20. But the other 2 guys, Merez Johnson and Ade Mara, they played the 4 and the 5 for Michigan. Mara's a 7'3" guy, really lengthy. I think he could stand to put on another 10 to 15 pounds. He's listed 7'2", 250. I think you could probably jump another 10 to 15 pounds and be okay. He's athletic. I think there's something there. So he'd be one that I think you could see in that 30 range. And then Merez Johnson's a little bit smaller. He's like 6'9", 6'10", but he has a bit more of a forwards game as well. So those 2 guys I think really did pop for me. The other guys in that range I'm not necessarily super high on. Like Kansas's center, Flory Badunga, is a guy I've seen thrown around. I'm just not a fan of his game. Every time I see him play, I just leave wanting more. A guy I'm probably higher on than most, St. John's, tomorrow they play Kansas. Zubi Ejiofor, he's probably in the NBA, he'll translate to an undersized 5. But he's shown the ability this year to be able to step out and shoot 3s. He's uber athletic, is able to guard the rim, and he's also pretty switchable as well as like a 6'8", 6'9" type guy. He's got some bulk. He's not going to be pushed around in any sort of the stretch of that imagination. I think he's a guy who potentially early to mid second round, you could be looking as a steal there. I don't know if he'll make it back to that second round pick that the Mavs have, but he's a guy who I have my eye on. I think he could be a riser throughout this process. I think he'll test pretty well.
Yeah. And I mean, with the Mavericks, I mean, that probably, if that's where you think he could be, then if the Mavericks used him with the last pick of the first round, that doesn't sound like that would be an outrageous stretch. If
that's, no, at that point, you're just trying to take a guy that you don't want to see going to tomorrow.
Right, right. That's great. So we got some games that are going to wrap up tonight. We don't, and then obviously there's going to be games tomorrow. What? I'll just close with this. This will be my last question. Just kind of, what are you excited about for the games tomorrow? And then if you want to use your crystal ball going into the next weekend, just what, or any other thoughts you have on the tournament so far that we didn't hit on.
So tomorrow I have a game that's really got my eye. Number one, obviously St. John's in Kansas. That's going to be Darren Peterson against a Rick Pitino coach team. That's going to be super physical defensively. That should be box office. St. John's has a ton of wings that they can throw at him. Ton of guards. It'll be super athletic. Should be a really, really fun game to watch. So I'd recommend that one. And then also the last game of the night tomorrow, we've got Texas Tech and Alabama. Both survived upset bids in their first round games, which means we get LeBaron Filon against Christian Anderson in a point guard matchup, which that game's going to be super up and down. Tons of threes being shot. And those two point guards are going to be orchestrating quite literally everything as your other, the two best players outside of them on both Tech and Alabama have been, are off the team for different reasons. JT Toppin blew his ACL out and Aiden Holloway got popped for having weed. So it is what it is, but that game tomorrow night will be really exciting because those two point guards are going to run everything and it's going to be great, great, great theater to watch.
Awesome. Well, that sounds great. Tyler, I'm going to let you go. Thanks for joining. We're going to wrap it up. That was awesome. I feel like I watched all the games now. I feel like I didn't miss a thing. So I appreciate it. We're gonna let everyone go enjoy the rest of their Saturday night. You go enjoy the rest of the game. If there's game, whatever games are on, still going. I'm sure they're still going on.
Yeah, so we got one. Arkansas still playing. So
okay, go watch into Arkansas. See how that goes, Tyler. I really appreciate it. Thank you again for joining. We'll talk to you. We're probably going to talk to you a lot more as we want to talk about these prospects. So I'm going to wrap it up for those of y'all watching live. Thanks for joining. Pod Maverick After Dark. Again, the Mavericks lost to the Los Angeles Clippers 138-131 in overtime. Go check our site for more coverage. Check out Tyler, anything he does for our site, for our NCAA draft prospects as the Mavericks are gearing up for that in June. And we'll talk to you guys later. Thank you guys. See you. Stay safe.